The Ear, Evangelical and Reformed, Christian Podcast. Welcome to The Ear, the Evangelical and Reformed, a Christian podcast that urges you to think deeper and draws you closer to God through faith. Through powerful sermons, teaching segments, and discussions, The Ear hopes to give you a different perspective on secular topics from a Christian worldview. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Please welcome your host, Brandon Queen.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to another segment with the Pals. Today's episode, we're going to talk about unworthy or untruthful or fake prayers. In other words, are every prayer that we hear, is it a truthful prayer? Or if we hear a prayer from a prosperity gospel, should we believe in that prayer? I want y'all to sit back and think about that. We have several prosperity preachers out there that will pray in Jesus' name, if you will, but the prayer is not truthful. Or you'll get a prosperity gospel preacher that will talk about money, and that's their main focus, or they'll tell their congregation to pray that God will A, do this if they sow this seed, B, bless them abundantly, which God already has, and C, we need to pray for a miracle. Last time I checked, every day is a miracle if we wake up alive. So I have with me Robert and Timothy.
Hola.
What's up, guys?
And we're going to dive into this discussion, and we're going to give our thoughts on this topic. What is a fake prayer? What is an untruthful prayer? What is an unrighteous prayer? We haven't named it yet. I don't know what are we going to call this topic. So
I kind of like, what is fake prayer? If fake prayer, you know, even is a thing, or if it even works, or if God even listens to them. That's what I think. I don't know.
Well, I mean, a fake prayer can also mean like somebody that's not living in the courting of God, you know?
Ooh, you brought up a good point. Not trying to bash any specific...
I wasn't throwing, like, no...
Yeah, I'm just saying, we're not bashing any specific denomination, but, you know, we don't pray into, let's say, if, for instance, I don't know...
I've been praying...
The mother of Christ, you know...
I've been praying, like, all day, so, like, for like, my week.
All right, that's pretty interesting. So, what happens to your brain when we pray?
Ooh, that's a good question, actually.
I'll let you get that, Robert.
All right. I believe what happens to your brain when you pray is that your brain, I guess, would go into a mode of a section of it, because I don't know much about the brain besides that it weighs, 5 pounds or something like that. It's pretty heavy. That it goes into a section that it has a connection and does all these electrical connections, I guess you'd say, that brings up a point to where it's just you and your conscience and your heart. That's what I think it is when you pray.
Timothy?
That's really tough.
Did I nail it?
Yeah, he pretty much summed it up. I mean, all I got to say is, you know, to me, what I don't know. He just blew it out the water.
Yeah, it's a hard question. I'm not even going to try to answer it.
Yeah, Brandon. Man, that always put it on me, guys. Always on
me. What I'm going to say is, what happens to the brain when we pray? This might actually end up being an episode within our season of prayer. But I'm going to take it from this point, and I'm going to say that the brain goes into...
Unconscious? No.
Some kind of shock?
No.
A connection?
It's like, you
like
know...
Like I said, with your conscience and your soul and your heart.
Basically, E.T. phone home.
Yeah.
But what I think happens to the brain is you tend to block everything out.
Ooh, yes.
Because when you pray, you should be directly in the holies of holies. You are before God, you are before the throne, and you're praying.
You're not technically before the throne, but I know what you're saying. You're
right.
You're having that one-on-one with God.
Think about Moses in the burning bush.
Okay,
when he went to walk up to see what was that interesting but strange thing, what did the bush tell him?
I am.
No.
Oh, wait.
But he said, remove your shoes for you are on holy ground.
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So I'm thinking, again, I could be wrong, but I think when you pray, you are in direct, in the direct holiness of God.
And we should remove our shoes.
And we should remove everything else that bothers us or that we...
Distractions.
Distractions. Yes. We should remove all distractions except the ones we're bringing up to God, either to, you know, pray for help for or to praise God for.
And that's the downside with today's society, though, guys, is that when it comes to praying, if you think about it, a lot of people when they pray, they'll start praying, but then they'll hear their TV in the background or their kids and stop. Because of distractions.
Right. Well, I mean, to me, is like I went 2 whole months without a radio in my truck. Believe it or not, as much as I love radio, I just went without a radio. And that was my quiet time on the road because I did entrepreneurial stuff. Like I would go around selling different devices to different stores and then I would get rejected. But that's a different topic. In my quiet time, I would pray about a lot of things. That was my coping period.
Guess what? In my job, there is no radio in my vehicle, so I have a lot of quiet time, if you think about it.
Right.
Okay.
But, my bad.
No, go ahead.
So, again, coping with it is just going and find a quiet spot. Have your kids go play outside or in a quiet room, and then you go in your prayer closet.
Yeah, some people do have those.
You know, prayer closet and just seek God and ask him, what you wanna, you know, what do you want from me personally? And what can I give to you?
Okay.
So if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. All right, so we're talking about false prophets, false preachers, and their false delivery of scripture. I believe that false prophets will... Well, they will. They do this. They mishandle the word of God horribly. And a lot of people are, it's unfortunate in today's world that in order to be a hip or a cool church, the prosperity gospel is the way to go. Mm-hmm. And nobody has a real or a true knowledge of God's word and what it actually means. So you got these people that are swarming into these churches that are of false teachings. But then they don't stop and think about the prayers that these false prophets actually preach. So the next question is, if a false prophet delivers a false message or a false handling of the gospel, is his or her prayer false?
I believe it's false, 100%.
Why would you say that?
Okay, because you already preach. Okay, how we all know is when you speak the word of God to people, the Holy Spirit is within you.
Okay.
And the Holy Spirit is guiding you. And, you know, talking to the crowd or the masses. When you give that false prayer at the end, again, the Holy Spirit's not there guiding you in that prayer either. So I believe it's just man saying words. It's not God.
Go ahead.
All right. So what he's saying, it could go as in Exodus 20:16. It says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor.
All right. Think about it like this. And I'm going to get a little theological, if you will, with my terminology. Whenever I'm not a pastor, so let's make that clear. I am an ordained elder in the Presbyterian Church, which does, if I'm trained properly, I can preach, which I do from time to time. There's a phrase called exegesis, and then there's a phrase called eisegesis. Exegesis is obviously taking the scripture and preaching from the scripture, preaching from the word in and of itself. Eisegesis, keyword eisegesis, is man putting his own or adding his own twist to the word to get what he wants to say.
Yeah, like earlier you said at the beginning of this podcast about how prosperity gospels say, you know, sow your money or sow your seed to the church and you shall get more in return from God. And they use that for mainly, you know, money purposes to get large right. amounts of cash.
Doesn't Creflo Dollar have one of these sermons out there that says, I anoint your money or something like that?
Yes, he does. I seen the video and he stomps across a bunch of cash people put on the steps of the altar, I guess you'd call
and
it.
And that's supposed to be the offering for that particular service, yeah.
Yes. And a lot of these prosperity gospels, pastors, if you want to call them that, live in large mansions and drive luxury cars and fly in private airplanes while we are rolling around in 1992 Ford Tauruses that are falling apart, hoping for a miracle, you know, or not a miracle, but hoping for something to change in our life. Because again, a miracle is every day when you wake up.
Interesting. All right. So our last question for the day is, why must Christians be mindful of false and untrue prayers and untrue and false gospel?
Well, I can go off of this one first. In Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 6 through 9 is the best, I guess, would put it the best way. Ephesians 5, 6 through 9 states exactly, that is an idolater or who has inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. And this is where I'm supposed to start, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as a child of the light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. For that verse states to me is that exactly how it states that do not follow these people. Don't become partners with them. The wrath of God will become upon them again on the day of judgment. Those prosperity gospels are the ones that are giving that false, I guess, you know, deceive you with empty words. Their gospels or their preaching are empty. It's not true. They're twisting, like you said earlier. In Ephesians 5, 6 through 9 advises you of that right there alone.
Right.
Not only that, if we go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 through 10 advises us too that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, a lot of those prosperity gospel preachers try to advise that they're, you know, they're free of sin, that they're perfect, you know, that they have a nice life because, you know, I've gave so much to God. Look what I get in return. No, you're a sinner just as much as I am there, buddy. You know what I mean?
Right. And I want to turn our direction to James. James. And I said this earlier in another podcast that I believe James is the letter of correction. And I think, Robert, you pointed this scripture out earlier. James 1:26 says that if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. And I don't want to take this verse out of context because I know what it means. But when you look at prayer and when a person, let's go back to math. I think it's Matthew where the Pharisees, one of the Pharisees goes in public and prays. And I'm going to mess this up again, but he basically prays stating that, oh, you know, I'm this Lord, I'm that Lord. And he's in front of all these people praying really loud because he's the religious leader or, you know, he is this prim and prompt and pompous person, if you will. But then you have this guy that is broken and he's also praying and trying to, you know, ask God to forgive him of his sins and everything. But you got the Pharisee just sitting there praying and, you know, doing what he needs to do. So when I hear of a fake prayer, people that are praying to be seen. Now, don't get it twisted. Do not get it twisted. Corporate prayer does not count because corporate prayer is good. But when you have somebody that's boastful and they pray to be seen, then
that's just funny how you said boastful because my scripture is going to add perfect onto what you're about to finish with.
Yeah. So, and then you move into a bunch of wasted words. You get these people that will, and look, again, I'm not saying praying for hours is a bad thing, but when you start hearing rambling and it doesn't make sense, okay? And then you get the people that change the language. In other words, speak in tongues, all right? Am I saying speaking in tongues is dead? Is it a dead gift? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it's not needed today. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah, my opinion on is I don't believe in the whole speaking in tongues.
Okay, well, it's in the Bible, but that's another episode in and of itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, being slain in the spirit or, you know, I heard somebody say that, you know, being slain in the spirit or speaking in tongues is a prayer language. Are you twisting Acts, when it talks about the disciples praying, waiting on the Holy Spirit to come, are you twisting that passage to say that, oh, we need to have this speaking in tongues? You know, I have an aunt, she's Pentecostal. And the unfortunate thing is, she told me one day that I had to speak in tongues in order to be saved. And if I never spoke in tongues, then I would never see heaven. Wow. And I'm like, okay, who taught you that? Why do you believe that? And that's false.
I'm like, show me the Bible where it says that.
And we've always had heated discussions. And then every time she would pray, she would always do it where we would have to, I think my sister told me this. They were in the store and my aunt literally made them stop to pray because they were buying food in the middle of the store. That's weird. Okay. Now I'm all about praying wherever I am. Yeah. You know, I'm all about giving God glory where glory is due. But you're praying to be seen. Just because you're praying in public doesn't make you more holy than the next person. Mm-hmm. You're going on and, you know, she does speak in the tongues and everything, and that it makes people feel uncomfortable, you know, and we got to be careful at saying amen to prayers we don't believe in. Any closing remarks, guys?
No remarks, but I can definitely add on to what you said.
Please do.
Because you said about boasting, being in public, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It fits perfect with also in 2 Corinthians. I pulled this up earlier. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 5 advises us. And what I am doing, I will continue to do in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted missions, that the work on the same terms as we do, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguised himself as angels of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, their end will correspond to their deeds. Which fits perfect with those prosperity gospels, and they boast their work.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. You, it's no doubt. You'll get it to where they.
That right there alone, that whole passage is basically about those prosperity gospels.
Yeah, and their prayers even are, in my eyes, not truthful.
No, because I don't know how many times I heard them say, "Oh, I pray for a miracle. I think I feel this miracle coming upon you in Jesus' name." I feel it. I pray for your wealth, your finances. I hope it gets better. I pray for your family, your healing. And then when they get done, usually a lot of them will say, I know you might have a miracle coming. And I feel that there's a miracle coming here too. As long as you send some, you know, money this way or something. They don't say send me money, but they put it in a way to right. Where they make it look like, hey, send me money.
Yeah.
Or then, a miracle will happen, or I'll send you this piece of cloth, you know.
You know, and then one of the things that I want to close with is when you pray, your prayer should be genuine. Yes. And guys, listen, this episode is just a precursor for next week's episode on what does amen mean? And
is it amen or amen?
We will find out in the next podcast, in the next episode. But what I want to close with is whenever we pray, guys, we are literally entering the holies of holies. You know, it is you and God. All distractions must go away. The heart needs to be, I'm going to say, ripped out, restructured, and put back in.
Or even better, your heart should be removed and put on that altar in the Holy Holies for right. God to cleanse it, because you're praying to him, and it's where all your sin is, basically. Is in your heart.
Right.
I believe that a breakthrough. I don't know if y'all believe in breakthroughs, but it's just praying to it. Like you, God actually touches you, and like all of your feelings are just before him.
Yeah, I believe that. Your feelings are. You put your whole, like, I don't know how I should put it. What's the best way to describe it? You write your whole, I guess, like you said, your feelings, like let's say a book. You write a whole book about your feelings. You put it before God. And you're like, hey, this is how I feel right now. This is what I'm in my, and if you read this part, I'm having this problem right now and I need help. And you, again, like you said, rip your heart out. Your heart's next to it too. This is your problem. This is your heart. Cleanse it. I need help. This is my prayer.
So what I can say, guys, is part of next episode, we'll probably talk about is it okay not to say amen to certain prayers? Yeah, we're going to get into that at the next episode.
We should wait. I want the listeners to be itching for it.
Right. So what I want you guys to do is whenever you pray, I want you to really check yourselves, check your heart. Make sure you're not praying just to make yourself look good. If you pray corporately,
you want to explain corporately real quick what it means?
Yeah, corporate prayer.
Because people are probably thinking like business, like AT&T?
Yeah.
Reach out and touch someone?
Corporate prayer is basically, for example, the three of us praying together, taking turns praying, if you will. I see this a lot at black funerals. Oh, my goodness. I shouldn't be saying this.
Oh, my gosh, Brandon.
I see this a lot at funerals. We'll just say funerals, where one preacher has to outdo the next.
I've seen that before.
And when it comes to corporate prayer, we tend to do it there, too. One person has to outpray the next person.
Now, it's a chain reaction.
Correct. Some people have a more diversitive vocabulary, but the other person doesn't. Does that make the person that doesn't know many words less his So that's what I'm getting at. So when you pray, and if you pray in a group in corporate prayer, just pray from the heart and mean it. Make sure it's truthful. Make sure it's humble. Yeah, you humble yourselves before God. You're entering the holies of holies. And for goodness sake, remove your shoes. But anyway,
they're dirty.
I want you guys to stay tuned for the next episode. And the next episode will be on what does amen mean? We're going to discuss a lot of these topics we talked about today and then some. So you guys tune in and the pals will be back.
Yes, we will.
I don't know when, but we'll be back with another short episode.
Y'all keep me in prayer as my upcoming week. I'm going on a mission trip, so
that's right. I forgot about that. Hey, good luck, man. I'll pray for you.
Thanks.
Yeah, actually, we're gonna get the listeners to join us in prayer with that. Timothy is actually going to be going to Bourbon Street to
spread the word.
Spread the word during Mardi Gras.
Yeah, good old Mardi Gras.
So Mardi Gras is this.
It's all across the country, but it's more of a southern thing. A lot of southerners like it.
No, it's popular across the country, but South Louisiana just overdid it.
Well, no. You know what? I think it's Mississippi or Georgia does it hardcore, worse than us.
I think it's Alabama.
Or is it Alabama?
It is Alabama.
I know it's one of those other states that does a lot worse than us.
Yeah. So I pray that God would touch your hearts and y'all open up your ears, open up your hearts, and I want y'all to start listening for the false teachers and the false prayers.
It does advise us in the Bible.
Get your Bibles out and read them. Don't let that thing sit on a shelf and collect dust. You bought it for a reason. Read it. Understand it. If you don't understand it, you go to a church and you ask a pastor.
Heck, hit you up. Ask questions.
I know, if I don't know the answer, I know people that know people that know people that know the answers.
Yes, man knows everybody.
I don't know everybody. But anyway, you guys, stay tuned for next week. And God bless y'all. Listen in. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. It is called The Ear. And it is spelled E.A.R. I know it's weird. I'm sorry. It is what it is, but it's...
and we're just a mini segment.
It'd be like that sometimes, you know?
Yeah. It stands for the Evangelical and Reform. And I hope and pray that you guys would get something out of this podcast. But share it with everybody when you get it. You can find us on iTunes, Spreaker, Breaker.
Anchor.
All of the above.
Oh, and on YouTube.
No.
Right? No? On YouTube?
I don't know.
I've seen it on...
We had one. But anyway, whatever.
We'll get back with y'all on that one.
But again, thank you guys for listening. Again, join us next week and stay blessed.
God bless y'all.
All right.
You have reached the end of yet another episode from The Ear. We hope that God's word remains on the ears of the listeners. We pray that this podcast would urge you to go forth and spread His good news to the world. Thank you for tuning in. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. See you at the next episode. God bless you, and may His glory shine upon you.